Hi guys, welcome back to Queer Coco. So today I have one of my best friends ever joining me via Zoom, and we're doing something a little bit different. I'm being interviewed by her, and my friend's name is Mema.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know Mema. I've known Mema for like 6 years now. 6 years?
Yeah, we were working that out before. It doesn't sound long, but it feels long.
I feel like I lived in Melbourne like 2 years ago still, though. Like,
yeah. 2013. How long ago was that?
Oh, seven.
Yeah. Don't try and round down.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. 7 years.
But anyway, how are you?
I'm good. Oh my gosh. I'm glad that we can still catch up because I don't go anywhere.
Oh,
like, stay at home forever.
Pandemic.
Cannot leave the house. Couldn't possibly come and see you. No, but actually shattered that I miss your birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
James is like,
can you stop watching it? It's making you sad. Like the stories.
I really thought the borders would have opened. Like, I was holding out hope that it would. And then it didn't. It got worse.
What do you do? Yeah. Freaking Melbourne, eh? Most livable city, and now no one ever wants to come here.
Well, I want to come there. Yeah, but don't worry. We'll have more events next year.
Yes, let's do it. Oh, we've got Tori Kelly.
I can't wait. I hope she doesn't cancel on us because of pandemic.
Pandemic. No, sis, you can't.
I just wanted to say, so I kind of came up with this idea to be interviewed by someone who I love, and someone who actually listens to the podcast and knows me, but also would have more questions about shit that I've talked about. Because I also feel like when I'm recording stuff, I don't go fully into detail, or I just feel like I brush past things too quickly. And so, yeah, that was the purpose.
Yes.
And do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. Because I feel like when we're explaining ourselves to, like, and just expect that they're going to, like, get it.
Yeah.
All about totally. Sound bits.
No, yeah, that's so right. And I feel like, yeah, I did never explain myself too much, and it always feels like an inside joke.
Mm. And it's just like, it's that part of you that is like, doesn't want to talk about yourself like forever.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, oh, always self-conscious that people are like, oh, I didn't even ask for your life story. Like, why? When did I ask for it? Why are you giving it to me?
But yeah, they're like, when?
Yeah, right?
People like press Spotify and they're like, when?
But you came here, you logged on.
You searched my name.
You did this. Okay. But yeah, I think that makes total sense. Okay. I love this for us.
But even if it just turned into like a complete shit show and we just talk about dumb shit while in.
I hope you actually get some content for this. Apologies in advance. I totally will not be like offended if you don't.
But wait, first, can you tell us a little bit about you so everyone knows what you're about, like projects you've been working on, where you're from, where your family's from? Just, you know the drill.
Okay. Yes. So, full name is Tumema Elise. Everyone just calls me Mema. I am 31. I was born in Wellington, New Zealand, and then moved here to Australia in 97. Ooh. And always have been in Melbourne since 97, like never have lived anywhere other than Melbourne. So yeah, I feel like I'm just like a true blue Aussie gal now. I am a citizen of this country.
No.
I haven't kept my New Zealand citizenship. But yeah, just been here in Melbourne, and like everyone else, just like hustling and trying to keep the family going, just like all good Samoan girls do, always putting your family first.
Oh, wow.
And yourself second. Or third. After church.
Of course.
But yeah, as far as like working on projects and stuff, COVID has just kind of like stopped any kind of projects for us. But yeah, I guess like during the day, just work, I work in a law firm here, and like on the side, me and my sister are part of a dance group called Nijin Pearl. And it's just like a Samoan El Siva, just for Samoan girls here in Melbourne to just get together and just yeah, learn about our culture, our history, and express it all through dance.
So, I love it.
That's me, pretty much in a nutshell.
Oh, and where's your family from?
So mum, dad are 110% Samoan. even though they are New Zealand raised, they were both born in Samoa. So dad's village is Lotuanu'u and mum is from Sa'angapu. But yeah, they met each other in New Zealand, in Wellington, and the rest is history. Yes.
And how were you and made? No kidding.
Seven kids later. And the oldest of seven children.
And you're a twin.
Yes. Oh, yes, my girl. Yeah, so I'm an identical twin. And Tapu is like my best friend ever. And you're like my second best friend ever. I guess like because I'm a twin, like I don't really make like... I have friends, but like I don't really make really good friends easily.
And I'll happily take second over time.
Right. And I feel like because Tufts moved away to London, that was like when you moved to Melbourne.
I just moved like on in there.
That's why you were just like, I'll just take this spot. So I really don't have like best friends, I guess. So you're really the only person that I kind of call my best friend. Ew.
Ew.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm going to leave now.
Well, that was all we had time for.
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. Enough of that.
Is that a tear or is that the filter?
Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
Yes. But I love that for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that was like an important part time in both of our...
Yeah,
really trying to figure out who we were without like you without your family living here in Melbourne, and then me without like tarps attached to my hip.
Yeah,
and we kind of just like grew together.
Yeah. Just for those listening, just a little bit of background. So I moved to Melbourne for about a year in 2013, and that's where I met Mima. And it just so happened that that same time, her twin Tups moved to London for 2 years.
Mm. Yeah, 2 years.
And so for a year of that time, I just took her place.
Yeah,
and we did everything together. Like,
yeah. It was like your first, like discovering like your first love. Like, I think you were trying to do like heaps of photography when you were here. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I feel like you've worn so many different hats since
then. Oh, girl. Mm-hmm.
Just jack of all trades.
I'm trying to find my favorite.
Yes. Yeah, you had like, you were doing the photography stuff here, and then I think you did the t-shirts too.
Yeah, girl.
So I remember my brothers being your models.
Yeah, I've done it all.
Yeah, and my dad got you to design our family reunion t-shirt. Remember that?
I just remembered that when I was doing someone's, I have a client for the Victors, and it was like, I laid it out similar. I was like, I'm having flashbacks.
Of the waterfall from Lutuanu.
Of the waterfall, yeah.
Oh my gosh, my dad and his ideas. But I love how you're like, oh yeah.
But I was stressing because it was, just like, oh, the pressure.
Oh, we all wore them proudly to our family reunion.
It turned out good, though.
Yeah, no, we loved them. Dad still has that t-shirt. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked again.
No, me too. What were we doing again? Okay, well, you go. You take the lead.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I've been watching all of your podcasts. I mean, listening to all your podcasts. I've reread through the coconut interview and then rewatched the YouTube Q&A you did, because I wanted to have like original questions, but I just don't want you to be repeating yourself and be like, refer to episode. Refer to episode 3 for the answer of that question.
Oh, do you know what? I do that in real life now. Like, not famous.
Obviously didn't watch episode 2.
Yeah, because I'll meet someone and then we'll start talking about it. Someone who's listened to it. It doesn't happen that much. But they'll be like, we'll talk about something. I'll be like, oh yeah, didn't you know I said it in episode? And I'm just like, you know, shut the fuck up, you idiot.
Yes, you spruik your wares wherever you go. You sell that shit. All right, so I wanted to dig deeper into one of the things that you always talk about, I guess if anyone's watched your birthday vlogs. I wanted to find out like where your Beyonce obsession began. Or, like, do you even remember like when you first discovered her? Or
yeah, so when I was like younger, like all, I think all queer people do this, they idolize certain people, whether it be artists. But mine before, it was an American Idol contestant that I just loved. Her name was Wanzel. And so when I moved to Australia, I was obsessed with her. And then, but I loved Beyonce before that, like, but she wasn't like, you know, it, for me, at, like, I knew all her songs and blah, 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 but the fandom wasn't that hard. That heavy. And then I moved here, and then my cousin Nessa and her sisters, they love B, but not as much as well. But then I just picked it up, and it was just a video,
like a gradual thing.
Yeah, it was a video check on it that really just made me like be like, wow, she's really that bitch.
Yes.
And then from then on, so that was like 2005, that came out at the end of 2005. And then since then, I used to stay up at night and not go to sleep, waiting up for like videos.
The releases, you said that in one of your videos.
It was ridiculous. Like, I wouldn't sleep at all. There was at like 1 a.m. in the morning was when there was a fan website. People use websites. Used to use websites back then. It was called Beyonce World. And at 1 a.m. I knew to refresh that website and the new like thing would come up.
And gosh.
I also had Google alerts on Beyonce, which got annoying because it just like would bring up irrelevant shit as well.
any paparazzi photos of Beyonce.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I saved, like, I would save her photos, all her paparazzi photos, all her photo shoots. And yeah, and at school, I would make my wallpaper her, and like people just wouldn't get it. But it was really the Check On It video and the B-Day album that really solidified my fandom.
Okay, and, yes,
and still my favorite album.
Yes, to this day.
Yep, to this day.
Interesting.
But that's all. But I'll say why, because she.
Tell me.
She does everything so well. People talk about her acting, but that's on them. But she just does everything so well, and I admire that about her. And performance-wise, like, no one can touch her. So
nah, no way.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I think you were saying it, maybe it was on one of your stories the other day, where it's like Beyonce is like the celebrity of the celebrities, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, she's the one that your faves like.
Yeah, and they like, and they hold her at the same esteem as they do like Prince and Michael Jackson. So like when people ask celebrities, oh, did you meet Beyonce? And it's like, did you meet Michael Jackson? It's like the same thing, like it's the same reaction that they all have. Wow, am I getting emotional about this?
Is that a tear? Are you tearing up about Beyonce and I was tearing up about our friendship before? Oh my gosh. But I feel so like deep. I know that about you, like that you like have like an addictive personality, or you like get really into things?
I do.
Like,
remember when we first met, or like around the time we first met, and I would make you sit there and watch her videos and Tamar Braxton's videos. And like,
I would never would have known who Tamar Braxton was if it wasn't for you.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I remember doing that and just not even caring that like you may have been bored.
I don't
and
care
like
if
over
you don't
want
to watch this.
Yeah, I'm just like, you have to watch it.
Even like TV shows that we used to have, remember? And we would just watch them religiously.
Yeah, it was Love and Hip Hop, remember? Oh.
Yeah, Love and Hip Hop. Oh, what was
like
the other one? Being Mary Jane.
Being Mary Jane as well.
Oh my gosh.
And they're all finished now. Like, it's been that long.
Yeah. Wow, just really showing our age right now. Okay, that was a great answer to that question.
That
oh
was
my gosh,
a long one
tick.
Too.
Yes, take that question off. Okay, so I had another question where it was like, there was something that you said in your coconut interview about imposter syndrome. Do you remember writing that?
Yeah.
And I wanted to know if, I know it wasn't that long ago that you wrote that, but I wanted to know if you still feel that way, like if you still have those feelings of it. Because I know that I do, like even in my job where it's like been doing it for like 10 years, still feel like I don't know anything, even though I probably do. But do you still feel like that after you've been, I feel like the podcast has become so successful in such a short amount of time.
So with that Q&A I did with Coconut, it, don't at my grammar and spelling on that, by the way, if you happen to read it.
Photos were lovely though. The photos, lovely.
Shout out to Patsy who didn't even edit it. But
God.
Yeah, I read it like not long ago and I was just like, well, this was not when you were in high school. This was a few months ago.
Lol.
It's so gross. But back to your question. imposter syndrome, I think we all suffer from it as Pacific Islanders just because we never really feel one at home, and we never feel adequate enough to be in certain spaces. But for me, like, you've got your diploma and things like that, that all the, like, you have your certifications and stuff for what you do in your job, and you still feel the same way. Like, it just it never goes away. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me though, like, I'm self-taught in like everything that I do. Like, I taught myself how to take a good photo, not of myself, but everyone else. I do a bit of videography, and I do like little things here and there. And so I feel like I'm good at things, but I'm not great at them.
Okay.
That makes sense. Like, and so I never feel like I'm worthy of like getting what other people feel like I deserve. Because there's you and Tups always there, like hyping me up in our group chat.
Definitely, and like, definitely.
And I always feel like I'm talking about myself in that group chat, but it's okay.
That's what it's for. We all have our days.
And like, even radio, I'm just like, I'm not a good enough host. I'm not good at asking questions. And then I'll get feedback from people and they're just like, that was a great interview. And I'm just like, thank you. And it's always when I don't really put much thought into it. And as I was saying in my Q&A that I did on Instagram, which was so out of character.
Oh my gosh. All those little ants I saw in the story. I was like, who is this? Someone's hijacked his Insta.
No. And usually when I see people's stories like that, I'm like, oh hell no, bye.
No, watch the whole thing.
Yeah, and I just feel like whenever I put stuff out, I'm just overly produced, like heavily produced, and like I edit myself way too much, to the point where I don't know if the message is lost, but I feel like my personality doesn't come across the way it does in real life, because I feel like, yeah, I just, yeah, Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I think it's like that, like, I don't know if it's like other Polynesian cultures, but that real Samoan thing about like not backing yourself. And when people are like always talking about themselves, you're always like that they're like full of themselves or something like that. I don't know if it's other Samoan, other cultures, but yeah, it's definitely a Samoan thing where people are just like not about being arrogant and not about being like,
because we don't want to look themselves. That way.
Yeah.
I think our imposter syndrome is connected to toxic humility. Ooh, buzzwords. And
yes.
But like, we do that to ourselves. Yes. Even when people are like complimenting us, we're like, oh, no, not really. Like, I just do it together. Like we have to play the humble card.
Never know how to take a compliment.
Never. Like, and you could know that your shit is so good and someone could say it and you'll just be like, oh, no, actually, have you seen Things One?
Yeah. I feel like, our people just really need to get out of that where it's just if you don't love what you're doing, like, how can you expect, like, other people to love what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it always, you can always see it in someone's, in the work that they put out too.
Yeah.
Because the consumer is not stupid. They may not always be right, but they're not stupid.
Not at all. All right, cool. So then I had another question where it was about like where you have been raised. Like, I know that we have been privileged to be raised here in Australia, but I know that there was a part of your life that you spent in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there is a real difference between the way you were brought up in New Zealand and the way things were when you came to Australia?
So, well, the main differences was church. So the reason we moved here was my dad was just so caught up in church stuff. He was there every single day of the week. And
what?
There was something on, like, let me try and remember. I think Mondays, there was bingo, which was Halsey. Tuesday, there was Bises for Okalamo. Wednesday, there was Sunday school teachers meeting that they would have every week. Thursday was another bingo. And Friday, we had Bises again for, and also church games. And Saturday would be another bingo. And then Sunday is Sunday. So he was there every single day.
Wow.
And so, yeah, he made the decision that, because we wanted to move ages ago, like, and we tried once before, but he wasn't ready because his life was so caught up in church. And so that was the biggest difference. So we moved here, got involved with church, but it wasn't as, it didn't take as much of his time.
Right. It wasn't as hard out as it was in,
Yeah. And churches weren't as organized here as they were in New Zealand, because back home, all the churches own their own land, their own buildings, like million-dollar buildings, multi-million-dollar buildings, sorry. They were also organized. They were like, they knew their shit. But over here, like, they knew their shit here, but no one owned anything. And so that was a bit of a shock.
And we're very new, like, it's so new here.
Everyone's just starting up here. So that was the biggest difference. It was church. And we're Efakasa too. And so that was so different. And we came back to a church that had like a small chapel as their Falesa, and they owned it and they still own it. But it was coming from this massive church and then going to small. That was the main difference. In school, like, it's more Balangis here than where we come from in South Auckland, which wasn't a culture shock for me because, you know, the girl knows how to adapt and whatnot.
Yes.
Ew. But that was a big difference. Like, we were the minority in the schools that we went to here.
So strange, eh? Home,
we are like, it's just us in South Auckland. So yeah, that was another big difference.
I remember moving here, like, to Australia and going to my first school, and there were so many like nationalities that I'd never heard of before, like Macedonian and
mine was
Serbian.
Lebanese. I've never
and
heard it was about just like, Lebanese.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Just never ever. And I feel like back home there was that understanding of the backgrounds that we had, and like there were other kids like just like us in school, and there was like heaps of them, whereas then when we're here it's just like there's just a small group of Samoans and all the Samoans hang out together.
Yeah, and we totally stick out in those schools because like there's only that one area that we all hang out in.
I think you've mentioned this before, but did you have a girlfriend in school?
I didn't have a girlfriend in school. But the oh my gosh, I've actually not mentioned this on the
maybe it was your formal partner. Maybe you mentioned your formal partner.
No. You know the story, but I've not mentioned it on the podcast because it's so embarrassing.
Tell us about it.
So in school, like, I knew I was gay and stuff, but times were a bit different then. I went to a Catholic school. There were a couple of Balangi guys that were out then. But anyways, I convinced myself that I had a crush on one of my best friends in high school. And so... and she listens to the podcast. Hey, Kim.
Hey, girl.
And so, yeah, that was a thing. But we never dated in high school. And then... oh, my gosh, this story is so embarrassing.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. And then after school, I was in uni, and we kept in touch. We like still hung out like all the time. And then, just randomly, we were just like, "Should we just date?" And we would talk to each other on MSN like all the time.
Oh yes, MSN.
Because I didn't have a phone back then, and that was the only way I kept in touch with my friends, like, or like that's how we made plans and stuff. And so on MSN we decided we were a couple, and then we decided like on a weekend, and then so that following week we were gonna hang out as a couple the first time. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm telling this story. And so and it was so awkward. Like, it was so awkward. Because she's a relationship girl too. Sorry, Kim, I'm pointing out your teeth. And so, oh my God. And so she's used to being like touchy-feely with like her partners and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was just not having a bar of it. Wouldn't even sit next to her on the bus. And then, so it was that same week. So we weren't even dating for long. So that same, I think the same night on MSN, she was like, you didn't even like try to kiss me. And then I was just like, yeah, I didn't think this will work.
it was short-lived.
Yeah. So that's why I didn't tell the story that often, because it's one, it's embarrassing. And two, it was like, what, 5 days? And yeah. Like, it was just, and she's still one of my good friends to this day.
That's good. That's the most important thing. Yeah. She loves you for who you are today. Hey, girl. Yeah.
And like, she
I'm a relationship girl too, sis.
And like at that point, I was out. Like, but when I came out first, I think I mentioned this. I was bi, and like, usually for girls, that's like a deal breaker. And we'll get into that in another episode.
Because
it's such a topic of. Yeah. But yeah, she was like all good, like knowing, and like, girl, I wear my gayness, like. And she was still like, so yeah, that was ages ago. I think I was 18.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how old do you think you were? All right, 18. Well, you've done it and you've realized it's not for you.
But I'm still a gold star gay. I still haven't kissed a girl, so.
Wait, you haven't ever?
No, not like that. Oh, actually.
That's what I'm like.
Oh, this is, like, it wasn't on purpose. Like, no, I'll tell the story another time.
Okay. Okay, moving on.
It also involves another high school friend.
Oh my gosh. She probably listens to the podcast as well.
Yep, she does.
Shout out to you, girl. So you were saying how your dad was so heavily involved in church. Yeah. Are you still involved in church now?
Oh, so what I forgot to mention before about church, I was there with him at church every single...
Right, yeah. I remember you. Even here, you would do bingos a lot. Is that just me that you would do bingos in Brisbane? Yeah, yeah. Sorry, here, there.
Yeah. Yep, they did bingos and stuff. But yeah, back in New Zealand, because I was like... in a lot of those, like I was in Okalawa and whatever, I was always there and I'd have to take my homework. Me and my cousin and one of the girls actually started like a homework club.
At the church.
For all the kids.
No,
it was just us three because we were all the same age. We were all in high school. And my dad was just like, why don't you guys just bring your homework and do it? I'm just like, why can't I just go home?
Why do we have to be here every day?
And it wasn't like I lived far, like it was like a 5-minute drive. But as per your question, I don't go to church. And that was your question, right?
Yep.
And that's my answer now.
The end.
I've decided not to go to a church just because I feel like I never feel like I belong. I'll have like a group of friends and this does not include Northcote, by the way. Northcote. I love going to Northcote. And okay. I never felt like the way I felt at other churches at Northcote. And so
everyone loved you there.
I loved
you. You're like a star.
Not the star.
Remember that dance we did for youth?
Girl, I'm so cringe.
Birthday was that? The star.
Every time I think about it, I'm just like, wow, I really was so confident in Melbourne. Like,
you were so confident. Ooh. You were living your best life.
Oh my god. Yeah. So I never feel that comfortable.
Right.
Let me put it that way. Yeah.
That makes me sad.
I've just been in so many situations where I feel like I'm the butt of the joke, or there's been a situation where one of the Falekuas has weaponized my queerness against me and my parents. I don't know if I've spoken about this before.
I think I've heard you say that phrase just there before.
Yeah. My parents are going to this church here and I refused to go. Like, I was dragging my feet and I just moved back from Melbourne and I was still like not buying it. And I was just like, yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to, you guys go to church. You guys do what you guys have to do. I'll be at home. And then it was the start of a new year and you know how everyone has those feels. Let me start going back to church. And so I did. And then there was, a meeting for youth, and you know how Okalawa, they have like the meeting at the beginning of the year where they start to talk about who's going to be their laulau or who's going to be their what do you call it in Balangi? The committee.
Like committee? Yes. Yeah. Committee?
So it was all those conversations on that particular night, and it had just happened to be my first time going to youth. And so they were discussing what topics they were going to be talking about in their Bible study that they were going to have once a month. I don't actually remember. And the Falekuo said something talking about gay marriage and stuff. And it just came out of left field. And I don't know. To me, it felt intentional because I knew she hated my dad's guts. And so I just... And my dad felt it too. And whenever gay marriage or anything gay is talked about in church, I just like, I really get a chill up my spine and just remember those times where I've had to sit in laungas where the faith that I will talk about.
They're preaching how, about it.
Yeah. And it happens once or twice a year. And so it was from left field. And so no one else said anything. Like, it just went dead quiet. I could feel like, I felt like everyone was either looking at me or was thinking of me at that time. It was just a yuck feeling. And then my dad actually approached her. I actually don't remember. I think he actually stood up and said something.
Wow.
We're not talking about this. Just because he knew the place it came from, it wasn't from a place of, let's talk about this.
Yeah, trying to start a dialogue about it.
It wasn't that, because this woman was just not that.
It was malicious, like.
It was malicious. Mm. And she didn't have my best interests at heart. She just wanted people to know that the Fela Kuti son was gay.
Wow.
But so that is my relationship with church. It just doesn't bring joy. And I'm grown enough to know where I'm welcome. I can make decisions on where I feel safest. And we do talk about creating safe spaces. And I think people are so overhearing that phrase. But when in the context of being gay and brown and stuff, it is important, and it's always at the back of our minds. So yeah, that's that on that.
But like, do you believe in God? Like, do you believe that there is a higher power in this universe? Like,
yeah, totally. I just organized religion is not for me. I believe in God. I believe there is a higher power. I believe in what Jesus taught, which is something that actual Christians don't really listen to, which is stupid because they're Christians and their religion is named after this certain person who loved everyone and didn't care where they were from. And so I just hate that aspect of church. It's so political. It's so hypocritical. People choose what they pick and choose what they want to take from the Bible. And so I'll choose to do the same.
Yes. Yep. And I feel like for a lot of us moving here to Australia, like, I feel like that was somewhere, like church was somewhere where our parents could connect to their culture. Yeah. So a lot of us have been dragged to church, like just like you have. But that's so awesome that you have gotten to that age where you're just like, you've decided that church is not for you.
Yeah.
And your parents are okay with that? Like your parents, you guys have a good enough relationship and that they respect that decision?
They don't have a choice, but...
yeah.
I'm a dragon in this house, but
yes.
But they don't at the moment. They're not going. They don't attend church, and they haven't.
Okay.
For I think 2 years now with church. They tried to do those. So it's a local ke alo ke loko and like kusape loko pope blah blah blah. Like at least you're going, and I'm just like
like. Come back to Northcote. We'll take you.
My experience at Northcote was so different. I wouldn't say I loved it there because I don't like church, but I didn't mind going. I didn't like I didn't like went, so I didn't flinch when I had to go.
Nice. I had a question down about the relationship with your mom, like. I just saw the other day that you posted about her malu and how you were so proud of her and how she's gone through a lot. But I don't think you really mentioned you mentioned your dad a lot in the podcast and stuff. But what is your relationship like with your mom?
Oh, so me and my mom, we have a really good relationship. I think the reason I don't really bring her up in the podcast is because there's really been no issue.
Yeah, I actually see her comment like sometimes underneath your stuff, even that the YouTube Q&A that you did, yeah. Or maybe it was the coconut thing, and she wrote such a lovely thing. Comment. Yeah, and she was like, "You're her biggest accomplishment," or something like that. Yeah. And she was
and
so
I didn't
proud
see that
like,
till months later. I didn't see that till so I had no idea that she wrote that under it. But when I did see it, I was just like, "Oh, I'm melting."
I know mom's yeah. like my mom doesn't say things like that to my face, but she'll write it on Facebook.
Yeah. And because my mom had and your mom had you young too. My mom had
oh yeah
really young. So our
your mom had you at really young.
Yeah. Yeah, our relationship is not a conventional one. Like I still give her the respect of being my mom, but if I feel like I need to say something that I feel like is not right, then the door is always open with her. And the same can't be said for me and my dad. Like, yeah, we'll get into that later. But yeah, it's a very different dynamic. And so because my mom had me young, and I hate saying this because it's cliche and also... people feel like there's less respect between us, but we're more like friends.
Right.
Or right. like, yeah, because we kind of, she grew up with me, like...
With you, yeah, exactly. Because she was just a teenager, wasn't she?
Yeah, and I've been through, I've been with her through everything. That includes stuff that happened in their marriage and... because they had me a year after they were married, I've been with her throughout everything. But yeah, I feel like I can go to my mom for anything, and I appreciate her for that.
Nice, lovely. Yeah. Lovely. This is the last question that I had down. Have we talked for long enough?
It's fine. It doesn't matter. Yeah, just keep talking. It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. So the last question that I had was advice for young Hunty or for a young Belid. Like if you could go back and give yourself advice.
Don't pop your pimples because you're acne scarring. First of all, she's still dealing with that at the moment. That's why people think I'm so young, because I still have acne scarring, like I'm going through puberty. So do not pick. But I blame my dad, because my dad used to just pop every single one. So that's on a superficial front. I want to say to come out earlier.
Why?
And this is a big reason why I wanted to have a big 30th. As I said in one of the vlogs, I think. I feel like I wasted a lot of my life. Like I enjoyed my childhood and being a teenager and stuff. But because I wasn't fully myself, I couldn't fully enjoy it, because there was always something that that people didn't know, they did know, but I wasn't open about. So maybe I would say that to maybe to say who you are, because people already know. And I try not to resent people for knowing and not being like, hey, like earlier,
just
hey, like we
asking.
Know, like you can feel comfortable saying anything to me. So I think it would be that. So maybe just say who you are earlier. But that's also not a me. It was on the adults in my life. But yeah, I think I'll say
I think
that.
You said that once. You said that once where you're just like, once people did come out, like their families were like, oh yeah, we knew.
Yeah. And I spoke to Amal about this on her episode, where you have so much anxiety about coming out, whether you should say it, whether you shouldn't. And then they're like, oh yeah, we knew. And what she said was, yeah, we knew. Did you want a yuki? Like, like anyway, did you
oh
want
my god. Anyway.
Yeah,
just so this massive secret that you've been walking around with like most of your life. But anyway, yuki?
Yeah. That part.
But your coming out story, like, I feel that you've talked about it before, where it's just like you felt privileged in that your coming out story, like, wasn't a horror story like others. But
yeah. And I have to say this, because my dad, his speech at my birthday that is on the vlogs,
yeah,
it was completely different to how I remember it, or like the way it actually happened.
That's interesting.
Because he said that I had already told my mom previously.
Right.
And then we talked, but I'd never told my mom.
You'd never told anyone.
Like, that's not something us girls
you'd never
forget.
Told them.
Yeah. And so, so the way he told it in his speech was, I approached my mom and told her, or she asked me and I told her. Which didn't happen. We so I came out because they asked me. We had like a talk, and I told them together, like they knew at the same time. So even though
you had that close relationship with your mom, like you told them both at the same time.
Yeah, because my mom
was such your mom protecting you in a way.
Yeah, and I also feel like that's the same too, because maybe she told him that I told him or told her.
Yeah.
And like, and my mom, that's such a mom move. Like, that's such a mom thing. And like, if you know her, that's something she'd do. And so my mom is also, she was also very sheltered in her life. And she took, I don't know if I've said this, but she took it harder than my dad did. Initially, wow. Yeah, she was the one crying. She was the one like, no, that's not you, blah blah blah. And so, but my dad was like, you know, he's like, yeah, we already knew. People have said stuff to us. And so what moved him was my friend that was living with me. He was a cis straight guy. And the other thing that moved him was Alfefe out of New Zealand, who is my namesake, told him to ask me. Like, he said, it's a conversation. Yeah, it's a conversation that he should have with me. So that's what made him, that conversation happen. And I was 20. So yeah, as I was saying about my 30th, that was the reason why I had a big 30th, because I just wanted, what I said was, I wanted to start this next decade the way I want it to go. Because I started my 20s, not in a good place. Not in a good place at all.
And now you live in your truth.
Yeah, making my own dreams come true.
Yes. I feel like you've come so far, like even since moving from Melbourne. Like, I know Melbourne was a big step for you, but even since moving from Melbourne, like, you out here, girl, like, you out here doing the damn thing.
I don't even recognize myself, like, like the way. Yeah, like, even back then, I'm just like, wow, you really, that's the way you thought, you dumbass. What's your view on life? Wow. You're an idiot.
But it's so cool to, like, see that every time you put things out, like, there are people that are actually, like, listening to the things you have to say, and, like, who are gaining some kind of, like, encouragement from the things that you put out there. Like,
I love it. It does make me feel good when people do say that they actually listened. And because, when I put shit out, I don't expect anyone to listen. I still have this thing where I'm like, I'm just a nobody. Like, who would want to listen to what I have to say? But the most rewarding thing that's come out of it is talking to parents who DM me and stuff.
Do people DM you with their with their stories and stuff?
Yeah. And it won't be straight away after a certain episode. Like, it'll be a new person, but it'll be like a couple of weeks or a month after that episode actually came out, and they were like, hey, I just listened to this episode and blah blah blah. But your parents are my favorite people to, like, obviously my community is my favorite people to hear back from, but I love hearing back from parents because at this point they would be the people that hold the key to a kid coming out younger or while they're still young and not having to freaking
hide keep that part of themselves secret.
I won't say what I've received, but it's been lovely.
That's good. That's so awesome. You know who you are. That's so awesome. And like, you would just never have had those conversations had it not been for the podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's been such a blessing in disguise, even though that one time, like, that's how you started it, that the camera wasn't on.
Yeah, see, look at God. Like, I just... I still... That's why I believe in God. Like, things just don't happen like that on its own. Like, it's not just a coincidence. I also feel like my grandma has a big part in it. Like, whenever some shit happens, somehow I magically avoid it. And like, I didn't die. And I'm just like, oh, she's got my back.
Thank you, Nana. Me and Tubbs do that a lot, actually. Thank you, Nana.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have more questions.
No, it was good what you had.
I was so nervous.
Why?
Because that's how I am.
Oh, yeah, true.
But like, it's just like how you said it before, maybe before we started recording, where it was just like, when you finally get on the call, then you're like, oh, it's all right.
Yeah. No, that's me too. Like, I'm just like, do I have to do it now?
Do you feel like that, like, when you release stuff as well?
No, I'm actually excited to release stuff.
Okay.
Like, I'm always just like, and that's why I always release early. I'll be like, it's coming out Tuesday, actually.
Already out. 'Cause
I'm so eager for people to hear the thing. Yeah. So I'm so bad at that shit. Like, I'll put the date on the trailer and stuff, and then I'll be like, actually, guys, it's available for you to listen now. But it's always cool because if you're following or subscribed on the whatever app you listen to, you should get a notification. So if those people, I can see if those people have already listened and stuff. So that's always cool.
You're like,
and because I'm so numbers like driven, and I try to get out of that kind of space. I'm just like, I'm always just like, oh wow, they actually listened.
Yes.
And it's not so much like episodes, not so much the episodes that I have a guest on, because I know those will be people will listen to those. It's the ones that I'm doing by myself
on your own. Yeah.
I'm just like, well, people listen to this, and it seems that they seem to be the ones that people like to talk about the most when I talk to people about it.
So I did have a question. Oh my gosh, I was gonna say, what your favorite episode interview? Do you have a favorite?
So I have two favorite ones. The first one would be with,
I guess, your favorite is my favorite.
One of them is my episode with Chris, like the two towns one podcast. Because we were just like
so good
cutting up, like it was so good, and we hadn't even met before. Like, he hopped on the call and I was nervous because I had like three back-to-back that day to do, and I was just like, get them over and done with, like get through it. And so I did two. So my two favorites I did on that day, so it was Chris, just because our stories were kind of the same, like how we knew we were gay, because
always being the girl characters. So good.
Like, and like the fact that I knew who he was talking about.
Video game
world, I have no idea who these boys are talking about, but those specific games, oh my god.
Lol.
not the coming of age.
Yeah, you guys were just like laughing and mucking around like the whole episode. It just felt like we were kind of just sitting in on your guys' banter.
Yeah, which that's what I really want the episodes to feel like, because I'll have my set questions and I'll sometimes send it if they want them earlier. And that's fine. Those episodes do well too. But like even now, our conversation doesn't feel like obviously you got your questions.
I was just like, I should have sent you the questions.
No.
My amateur interviewer.
No, but I'd rather not. No, it's always a personal choice. So I always ask if they want to hear. Oh yeah, I love these questions about BTS. it's always a choice. I'm like, because some people like to talk on the fly and other people don't. I've learned to like talking on the fly because
you're good at it.
I never used to be. It used to be the So my episode with Chris is one of my favorites, and my second favorite, oh well, they come close, because this episode also not the dragging it out, this it was like another one that so Chris's one was similar. I didn't want to hang up, like I didn't want to end the call.
And
we just kept talking after anyways, and that was my episode with Disciple Butty.
Yes,
I love that girl. Like, she is, I think we recorded for over 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And I only put like an hour out.
Gosh, do you ever listen, like, even after you edit stuff, like, do you listen to the stuff that you had edited out, like, after episodes air?
Yeah. So I will, I always give a copy to my guests so that they can be like, no, can you take this out? I always give it to them to approve, because I don't want to spill their tea if they don't feel comfortable.
That makes sense.
Because I know what that's like. But so I put it on a SoundCloud, give them the link. While they're listening to it, I'll listen to it again at work. And give it to you guys if like I feel like there's something that you need to like, especially the ones that I make are just me, like I'll send it to a few people to be like, no, that was good, no, this part was a bit, or I didn't know this part about you. But yeah, you're that for me, Ness is that for me, Kamaya is that for me. Yeah, you guys just have to see it first, because you guys are honest.
I remember that first episode that you had with Ben, and me and Tarts wrote all those dot points.
That was like, honestly, I still talk about that. It's my favorite thing, because that is so.
Oh my god!
That is such a Elise move. And yeah, so if you're listening, so my first episode with Ben, Mima and Tuffle were listening to the episode, and they bullet pointed like their notes on the episode, and because I think you guys are listening throughout the day, and so it kept coming, like it was like came at different times of the day.
My gosh, I remember starting to listen on my way to work in the car, and then just gradually anytime like I had a break or like I just go to the toilet and listen to it.
Yeah. That is also one of my favorite episodes.
Is my favorite episode.
I don't know. Yeah, because that was so early on. That was literally week two of the podcast. That is actually one of my favorites too.
That's a major throwback.
Shout out to Ben.
You were saying that he was like one of the like hype men behind you starting the podcast too.
Yeah. So, we had so, like we were throwing ideas around, and I like a few years ago we wanted to start something because at work, so we worked at a call center together and it was a lot of islanders, and we had this room, like it was like a break room, it was dark, like the lights were off, it was actually the sick bay, if that's what you call it when you're an adult.
Oh yeah.
But that's where all the islanders hung out on their breaks, and so we had like those, we had like chats, like what we do on the podcast at at work. And so a few of us wanted to do something and then it just never came to fruition. And so fast forward to the end of last year, we were just trying to think of something to do. And then then I wanted to do a YouTube channel and then it didn't work. So the podcast was there and born.
Wow. Man. And the rest is history.
Yeah. January 6th.
How long has it been now?
Jan 6th was my first episode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You're going to have to do like a birthday party.
I think I will.
Yes.
Yeah. I recorded it on a Sunday, dropped it on the Monday.
People just, even with like Nation Pearl, people just don't understand how much work it takes to do the things that you do, you know? Like, so I can appreciate that it's been a long slog for you getting this podcast together and all the other things.
People see
you
that
do.
5-minute performance, but they don't see what it took to get there. And you guys have been, Hawaii? And you've been to what, New Zealand? With Nijian Pearl?
Samoa, Hawaii, New Zealand. Yeah, crazy.
I love
Getting a bit old now. Getting a bit old now.
No, and I remember when you joined Nijian Pearl, or when you
oh my gosh.
Such a fan girl.
And I never would have had, like, I never would have had the courage to audition. I think I went by myself.
You did.
To that first.
And this is why I always believe in you're supposed to be where you're, like, you're where you're supposed to be all the time. Because I remember you joining Nijian Pearl, and that was kind of when I was leaving Melbourne.
Yes.
And so you found a group of girlfriends to tide you over till Tubbs got you back.
Yeah, and then Tubbs came back. I was like, forget later. About all these friends that I made now. Look at God. Look at God and his power. Yeah. Every time I needed someone, he slot them in for me.
And it's not like we're codependent. It's just we work better as a collective.
Yes. And those are the three, like, closest groups, like, probably Tubbs, you and Nijian Pearl. In my life.
And that's all you really need, like,
keep your circle small.
Not to sound like an old auntie, but you really do have to keep your circle small. It will get smaller as you get older.
100%.
Where's me at the moment? I'm reconnecting with people that I have been friends with for the longest time. But just I've this past 10 years I'm just so, like, I'm not as social as I used to be.
I'm so bad at keeping in touch with people.
It's an effort.
Even our group chat, like, it will go months, like, without any messages in there, and then, like, one thing happens and then it's like revive it again.
Literally, and it'll go for like hours and then
I know, right? What is that chat called?
The place of
everlasting
vent.
And it's so what it is. Like, it is exactly what it is.
Did we just say an incantation? Light is a pit, stiff as a board.
Oh my god, yes. I love The Craft. I want to watch it after this.
So that was so cool. I loved it. I loved your questions. Do you feel like you've gained a new understanding or you've learned a bit more?
Yeah, but I feel like people need to, like, if you put this out, like, people need to know. Sorry, I feel like my questions are so, like, family orientated and, like, about, like, who you are.
Yeah, but that's me.
Your
I'm a family
background.
Guy.
Yeah. I'm the family guy. I feel like that is where we relate to each other.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're both
the
oldest. And, yeah.
We come from big families. Most of the kids are boys and
right.
Men are trash. No jokes.
Men are trash. I really hope that I have all girls. No jokes.
I loved it. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
It's okay. Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. Okay.
But I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. Wait, did you want to say anything?
No, just that I'm so proud of you and keep doing you. Not this teary. Not this teary shit again. Okay, that's it.
Bye.
Bye.